From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis, and here is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We do have, in fact, a great show for you today. We've got author Elizabeth Gilbert joining us later. You know her for her enormous bestseller, Eat, Pray, Love. Everybody read it, which led to a lot of eating and praying and loving. Well, actually, this being America, everybody ate a lot, and then they got drowsy, and they promised to pray just as soon as they watched this next episode of House of Cards, and then we all fell asleep on the couch. But we tried. It's a lot easier to follow our prescription for a good life, which is give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That translates to 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hey there, how's it going? This is Matt Cipriano from New York City.
Matt Cipriano?
That's right.
Well, it's nice to hear from you. Are you in New York, as they say, Manhattan, or where are you?
Manhattan, Midtown.
Oh, hey, that's awesome. Nobody, I thought, listens to our show in New York because nobody has any cars.
We don't, but there's a whole lot of traffic with the UN this week.
Oh, yeah, I bet that's, I mean, is that, I imagine that can be extraordinarily annoying. You can't get anywhere with all the motorcades.
Oh, yeah.
So are you just not leaving your apartment?
I try not to, but unfortunately I can just walk to work.
Oh, dang. Well, welcome to our show. It's great to have you. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, it's a humorist who will be hosting Storytellers on a Mission with Roy Blunt Jr. at the Flynn Theater in Burlington, Vermont on November 1st. I mean, it's Tom Baudet.
Hello, Matt.
Next, it's a reporter and blogger for the Houston Chronicle. It's Ms. Kiri O'Connor. And lastly, we're joined again by writer and comedian Shelby Farrow is here. So, Matt, welcome to the show. You're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Bill This Time. Bill Curtis will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. I bet you know the rules. They are, if you correctly identify two of them, then you win our prize. That is the voice of scorekeeper emeritus Carl Castle on your voicemail. You ready to go?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's your first quote.
They're the coalition of the sort of willing.
That was a reporter for the Shreveport Times talking about the coalition of Arab nations that joined the U.S. to fight ISIS where this week?
Is it Syria?
It is Syria. Yes. Very good. First of all, congratulations to those of you who have Syria in the Who We Gonna Bomb Bingo in that space. President Obama ordered the airstrikes this week on ISIS targets there right after turning his Nobel Peace Prize to the wall, so the face on it would stop staring at him like that. The president promises there will be no, quote, boots on the ground in this new war. We assume this means that when we inevitably have to send in troops, they'll be wearing more sensible shoes. Given Obama is a Democrat, it'll probably be Birkenstocks. So another war. You guys think this one's going to work out?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
What could go wrong?
Nothing I can think of.
I mean, have we ever lost a war?
No, not really.
We even won the one against ourselves, kind of.
Yeah, sure. I think we get credit for that. I mean,
yeah.
The Civil War?
Yeah.
Yeah.
America won.
America, yeah, you know, yeah.
Well, I mean, you haven't seen the Axis of Evil around lately, have
That's
you?
True.
That's right.
We got, what is it now, the Network of Death, isn't that? Right. That's what Obama called.
He called them a Network of Death. This is
You know, and I always thought that was AOL.
Yeah.
That's the Network of the Dying.
Right.
Timely AOL. So, well,
I mean, we won't bomb them back to the Stone Age. We'll just get them back to, like, dial-up.
Yeah. One of the big surprises of this new war was that in addition to bombing ISIS, which we knew we were going to do, we were told, bomb somebody that none of us have ever heard of before. That is the Khorasan Group. The Khorasan Group. People are like, what? We bombed a hedge fund? That's great! Finally, a war! Everybody can get behind! All right, Matt, you still with us?
Absolutely.
All right. You can't leave your apartment. The UN is like, blocked the streets. You're stuck with us.
Got the doors boarded up.
Yeah. Matt, your next quote is a headline from the Washington Examiner.
The White House will now lock the front door.
That extreme security protocol has been enacted because of what that happened last Friday.
The guy who jumped the fence with a tomahawk and walked in the front door?
Yes. He actually didn't have the tomahawk with him, but I will give you the point. Yes, that's true. He had a tomahawk earlier. If he had a tomahawk, they would have stopped him. Since he didn't apparently have a tomahawk, they let him walk in, I guess. You know those movies White House Down and Olympus Has Fallen that came out that have these elaborate plots about attackers getting into the White House? Turns out, nope, all you have to do is jump the fence, run across the lawn, walk right in. That's what happened. That's what this guy did. Well, how did he do this? How did he manage to evade all the security? First, he tossed a steak over the fence to distract the dogs, and then he threw over some Colombian prostitutes to distract the Secret Service. It's like, come on, over you go, Carmen. One of the things we found out is that this guy was unusual because he got through the front door, but there are people, I think 60 is the number of people who, during Obama's presidency, have jumped over the fence onto the White House grounds trying to get to the president. One of them, of course, was Mitt Romney, because he was like, I've tried everything else. Just let me go in for a second, he said.
I mean, have you ever tried to hop a fence? It's like decently hard.
Yeah, and that one outside the is tall.
Well, did you see that they've built a second fence now?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like this little tiny, it's like a baby gate.
Did they build a smaller fence
of those 60
outside?
People, 54 were babies.
Wow.
Matt, you're doing very well. Your last quote is from ESPN's Rick Riley.
He says he's going to settle down and have a family. Him settling down, that's like an eagle deciding to take the bus.
Riley was waxing somewhat sticky about a sports hero who was playing his last baseball game before retiring this weekend. Who is it?
Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter, yeah. Very good. This is Derek Jeter's 20th and last season for the New York Yankees. It is a remarkable achievement. It is hard to be that evil for that long. As I'm sure you know, you're a New Yorker. Jeter has been on a farewell tour all season long. Every time the Yankees go on the road the last 3 months, teams have been giving Jeter presents. For example, the Baltimore Orioles gave him crabs from the Chesapeake Bay. The Minnesota Twins, trying to beat that, gave Jeter chlamydia.
I'm sorry, thoughtful. I don't know baseball. Were the Twins just two twins?
Yeah, basically. It's hard to hate him. That's the problem. And I say this as a Red Sox fan who hates the Yankees. He said, no major scandals. He doesn't show up in the tabloids. He seems like a genuine guy. But despite all that, we will do what Derek Jeter would have done in our place. Apply ourselves, put our heads down, do the work, and hate him anyway. Bill, how did Matt do in our quiz?
Matt was perfect. 3-0.
Well done. Congratulations, Matt. Thanks for playing.
Oh, thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
How do I say goodbye to a